Good morning and welcome along to Walk In My Shoes Radio, your pop-up radio station for Mental Health Week, live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services here in James Street in Dublin 8. We are going to be with you live every day this week, Monday to Friday, from 7 o'clock in the morning until 9 in the evening. I am Trevor Keegan, bringing you breakfast today and tomorrow. Other guest presenters will be taking the helm on this show, and we have a great lineup of guest presenters and some fantastic celebs in the mix as well during the course of the week. I'll let you know about who's doing what and where during the course of this show. In the meantime, it is Monday. It is early, so let's kick off with a little bit of happiness. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along. Happiness in the start of your brand new week here on Walk In My Shoes Radio, raising awareness for World Mental Health Week. And we are available online at walkinmyshoes.ie, where you can listen live. Now, this is Trevor Keegan with The Breakfast Show. I'm with you until 9 o'clock this morning. Obviously, it being breakfast, we have to give you a little soiree through the papers, kind of a little pathway of what's making the news. And Barbara Scully is a journalist who joins us live. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in.
I'm never up at this hour.
I'm never up at this hour either.
I had a shock.
Let's hold hands.
Yeah. I'm still in shock. I may not cannot talk any sense.
Did you sleep last night? Because I woke up at 3:30 and I was having the weirdest dreams, and I think it's because the kind of anxiety of missing alarms, all
yes,
six of them.
I did exactly the same, and I woke up about 5 minutes before my alarm, which is amazing that your mind does that. I do that if I'm flying as well.
Yes, the early flights.
Your mind, which makes me wonder, do we need alarm clocks at all, or could we just get
ourselves?
We have an inbuilt system.
Circadian rhythm.
The other thing that frightened the living daylights out of me, though, was the fact that I was driving in on the N11 this morning at 6 a.m. and I was stunned at the amount of people out jogging and walking. I was like, why aren't you still in bed?
Stunned, stroke, slightly jealous.
No, I wasn't a bit jealous. No.
Right.
I'm more jealous of the fact that my husband was still snoring away at 6 a.m.
Give him a little call when you finish this. Now, the first story.
You dried me hair. That was much better.
Oh, I left it on full power. The first story you're looking at this morning in the papers is from the Irish Times.
Yeah, this is from Conor Pope. And I thought this was really interesting. The headline is What the Future Will Look Like for Shoppers. And it's basically talking about something which I hadn't heard of before called experiential shopping.
You what, gay?
Experiential shopping, which apparently is going to be how traditional shops will compete with the fact that an awful lot of us now are doing our shopping online.
Is this the next step up from those annoying self-service tills that never bleed and work?
Yes, possibly, but it's actually much more than that. Because
It's experiential.
So it's about giving you a very positive experience when you go shopping. So instead of you going to the department store and just buying whatever it is that you want to buy, certain shops are looking at making that more of an experience for you by offering maybe a massage or
no.
a facial or something you can do. And apparently, it's a very interesting article, because Conor Pope says that how this actually began was with garages, where, you know, back in the day, your garage sold your petrol and you might be able to buy your cigarettes and your newspaper and maybe a packet of sweets, and that was it. And then they turned into places where you bought fresh pastries, you got your
breakfast
fresh coffee.
Roll.
You got your breakfast roll, you got your romantic, in inverted commas, flowers, blah, blah, blah.
When you forgot on Valentine's Day, you didn't get them in the first place.
They're really awful flowers, yeah. So they were the first ones to kind of make it more of an experience than just buying the petrol. So it's about, I suppose to use that awful term, it's about giving added value to your shopping experience.
Like, you see this in the airports, you know where they have those massage chairs?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Yeah, it is. It's aimed at, guess who? It is aimed at millennials, because they appreciate apparently this kind of engagement, because they can then post their experience, their positive added value experience. Where could they post it? On their Snapchat and on their Twitter account.
They're going to take pictures of it.
Just saying, having it. Conor gives the example of a store in the United States called Staples, which is an office supply store. And it now sets aside space in its shop where there's Wi-Fi workspaces and they provide you with coffee.
This, I don't know.
So it's giving you more bang for your buck.
I just want the trolleys to work, the euro to have that with me to make them work.
Yeah.
Get in, get out, have no contact with people really in my way.
You know, I kind of agree with you, except back to the N11 again. I live across the road from Dunn Stores in Cornell Square, which just had a major revamp, and they now have their trolleys. They've got these, everything is black, right? So it's very trendy. So you now have black trolleys, but they have a coffee cup holder in them, so you can actually, and because there's a good coffee shop now, and that kind of adds to the whole experience. So now I can have my coffee while I'm wandering around doing my shopping, and that's good. Another store that's quoted in this article is Avoca, you know, the Avoca shop, which apparently have been cottoned to this for years, because they've always tried to encourage customers to shop without you really knowing you're shopping.
So what you really want is a slot for your cream cake with your coffee
on the trolley. That would be good.
Right, now there was a bit of a hoopla over the weekend because it was a load of balls and there was a lot of stuff going wrong with them. This is the lottery.
Yeah, and of course the tabloids have had great crack.
This made the Daily Mail in the UK yesterday.
It did, shock horror. It's a bit of a non-story story, but it's a bit of crack. And the headline, for example, in the Irish Daily Mirror is It's Ball and Illusion, and the Irish Daily Star have gone with Oh Balls. Basically, a couple of eagle-eyed viewers noticed on the lotto draw, I think it was last Wednesday, that the ball that was marked 33 also seemed to be marked 38. So they were like,
now when you look at that picture on the paper, and I was looking at it online closely, it does look like there's one number and then two more different ones beside it.
Yeah, it looks like they're all 38 except for there's a 33. Now the lotto have said, which actually when you think about it, I can't imagine what that would do except make more people win. But the lotto have said it was just a trick of the light. So with the camera lights and everything else, that the eight, if you like, the part of the eight got
And don't go to do a shameless plug here, because I have produced a TV documentary about 30 years of the lottery, and we went behind the scenes of the lottery and we show, it hasn't been aired yet, it's going to air in December, how officious they are in how they deal with their balls.
Yes, indeed. And they have to have, don't they?
They
use
white gloves and they weigh them before every draw, even the draws we don't see behind the scenes, the millionaire draw, like every day, and your Euro Millions draw, that they don't do that themselves, but all the draws they do themselves behind the scenes in their offices.
Very efficient.
They have such rules and regulations. So I think that is probably
a
trick of the light.
We can all relax.
You can all relax.
There's nothing untoward going on in our lotto, which
now,
is good.
Now, before we take a quick break for another song, you have another North Korean story, and this isn't necessarily Trump related.
No, but this kind of, it really did stun me. I mean, because certainly it was something I wasn't aware of. This is a story from the Irish Independent. It's on page 2 and 3 of the Indo today, and the headline is North Korean cyber gangs blitz Irish companies, with a lovely picture of himself, Kim Jong-un. It's by Ralph Regal, and apparently North Korea is behind, you know, a lot of these cyber attacks that are now being launched on companies, and they particularly, which was the thing that blew me off my chair altogether, the Pyongyang regime is the chief suspect in the 4.3 million cyber raid on Meath County Council,
where they took the cash. It was held in an account. I was only in my account temporarily. And then the Meath County Council got it back, though, in the end.
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
But the fact that, you know, that this is being linked to North Korea kind of blew my socks off.
I wouldn't have thought Meath County Council and places like that were top of his agenda.
That's exactly what I thought. I could understand big, you know, multinational American companies who were here and who were very visible.
Who would be on his radar.
Yeah, and who we all know about. But Meath County Council... You know, tell you, he's some guy.
Let that one hang there. Barbara's going to stick with us for the papers. A few more stories to go before 7:30 this morning. You are on Walk in My Shoes Radio. This is Breakfast with Trevor Keegan.
Old dear. to start talking about mental health. It can get better. Log on to walkinmyshoes.ie to find out more.
From Steps on Walking My Shoes Radio. I just think of doing the dodgy moves and some equally dodgy nightclubs back in the day to that song. Unfortunately, they are back on the scene as well, which means you have to do it all over again.
Which is a tragedy.
It's a tragedy in itself. Yeah. Good morning, welcome along. It is Trevor Keegan here with you on Walking My Shoes Radio, bringing you breakfast until 9 o'clock this morning. I'm in the company of Barbara Scully, who's a journalist perusing the papers this morning for us. Barbara, talk to me about mindfulness, because we are actually talking about it later on the show as well.
Yeah, and this is something I would have a lot of time for. This is a piece that's on the front page of the Irish Times this morning by Carl O'Brien, and the headline is that teachers are to be trained in mindfulness to boost well-being of their students. The rollout is going to start with teachers in so-called disadvantaged schools, because it has been shown and it has been proven that mindfulness and yoga can have a great impact on children's mental health and on their well-being and in reducing stress and anxiety. But it's great to see that this now has the backing of the Department of Education, because Richard Bruton is planning a large-scale training programme for teachers across more than 900 schools. The initiative, as I say, will mainly be in schools, so-called disadvantaged schools, but there's another scheme also, which is called the Friends Programme, and that's going to be rolled out as well for both secondary and junior schools. And I think that this is a very positive move.
Well,
because
we should start this early.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get them young, and then at least we're in touch with ourselves a little bit more than our generation, perhaps.
Exactly, yeah.
The only question is, and this isn't a slight on teachers, mm-hmm. but they do have a massive workload already, so will they be looking for more play?
I agree they do, but I think this is something that teachers will benefit from as well, because I think if you can manage to get, I often think even with junior schools, with primary schools, if you can get the kids to kind of sit down.
Remember in the old days, Taya Culla.
Taya Culla, put your hands down and put your head down at Taya Culla.
I used to love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the teacher could wear for a sneaky fag. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's a great idea.
But it's a great idea. I think this is a really positive move. And I mean, our teenagers in particular, I think, are having quite a crisis of mental health at the moment. An awful lot of anxiety.
Well, see, it's
and
all
an awful
the
lot
online
of
thing.
It's
we that, didn't have to contend
yeah,
with.
Exactly. So I think that this is teaching our children to be resilient, I think, is very important.
And it's a great thing
tools.
Because remember, teachers used to say when kids came back from lunch, they'd be having like a spike in their moods.
Yeah.
Because of the food they've eaten, and
that's
they try
right.
to get into healthier lunch boxes. So
that's
it's all
right.
kind of interlinked to that as well.
And we're also, I think, nowadays, and especially with our kids, but adults too, is that we're afraid of silence. We're afraid of being quiet. We have to be constantly bombarded with sound and image and, you know, all that. And I think to teach everybody to just be
well,
quiet.
Well, it's even having
fine.
That mobile on your bedside locker, which you're not supposed to. It's not supposed to be in the bedroom.
No,
but,
it's not.
Anyway.
It's yours?
Yes.
It's mine?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the problem. See? Preach what we practice what we preach kind of thing. Now, since we're on a breakfast show, we should talk about breakfast. But these are particularly expensive breakfasts.
I love this story. Because particularly when you set this story against the context of our so, and I'm doing this with air quotes, our health conscious, very cool,
all running,
very
all
active,
yoga-ing.
All running. All whatever.
I'd say he does mindfulness.
Oh, I'd say he
I'd
does
say
it.
He does,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, he does. Yeah, we're talking, of course, about our current leader, Leo Varadkar. Well, this is about the Doyle restaurant, and figures were released to show what our TDs are eating for breakfast. And it seems that Leo's kind of on his own, because the thing that our TDs like best for breakfast is the old, what's known as the four-item breakfast.
Sausages.
Bacon.
Is it black or white pudding?
No, it's eggs.
Eggs.
Hash browns.
Well, that's a bit fancy now,
isn't
it? It's
a bit fancy, isn't it? Yeah, a bit fancy, but that's what they like. The four-piece breakfast.
I imagine there's then this kind of fruit counter that only has Leo at it.
Yeah. Well, do you know, the funny thing is, this is a piece by Nicola Anderson in the Irish Independent today on page 6. And as I say, it's showing that the country is powered, as she says, by the four-piece breakfast, which you've discussed, followed by tea and scone mid-morning, a meat-based lunch, and then meat again for your evening
now,
meal.
Now, a nutritious would have a field day in
it's
there.
It's not great, really, is it? And there's also a six-piece breakfast you can get in there. That'll probably have your black and white pudding at the time. But anyway, by contrast, there was only 1,681 bowls of porridge were served in the last year. And listen to this. This is brilliantly quoting. Puzzlingly, only one Actimel probiotic yogurt drink was sold last year.
We know
year.
Whose bag that is in.
That's what Nicola said, which is presumably being consumed by the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar.
But you know what? Are we? Is that subsidised? That Dáil
it's making it's losing money hand over fist. The facility had a revenue of 913,000 in 2006, with a loss of nearly 31,000.
Well,
so it ain't making money. It is subsidised.
They
yeah.
could be partly. To blame for our next story, because it is the death of the humble kitchen. kitchen.
The death of the kitchen. And this is the death of the dining room. The death of the dining room in favour of the kitchen.
The kitchen is becoming more the hearth and the dining room is gone.
It's gone.
We're not segueing from one to the other.
No, we're not having a special dining room anymore. And again, this is in the Irish Daily Mail by Susie Cohen. And this trend has been confirmed by the fact that even Mary Berry, the fragrant, fabulous Mary Berry.
If Mary says it is
she
gospel.
She eats in her kitchen and doesn't bother with the formal dining room.
She's selling her gaff at the moment.
Yeah, and apparently it's a massive gaff. Yeah, so they were saying she'll have loads of choice if she does decide to change her mind again. But traditionally, families would have had, in Ireland as well as everywhere else, you'd have had your kitchen, which would have been a small place for preparing food, and then you had your dining room. Or as things moved on, your kitchen got a bit bigger, you might have had a place to have your breakfast in the morning. But you still had your formal dining room.
But then we all went for those things. They were the kind of de rigueur to have an island.
Yeah, and we knocked down the wall between the kitchen and the dining
room.
That's
true,
too. And made it a kitchen diner.
Yes.
Which makes much more sense.
Hike the price of the house.
Yes, exactly. Which made much more sense. So the dining room, I think, is officially dead. Some people I know still have a formal dining room, which they only use at Christmas, but that's an
awful waste of space. It's very Margot and Jerry, isn't it?
Not everybody's going to get that reference.
Nobody's. I'm showing my age.
I hear you, Trevor.
You're showing your age.
Yes, exactly.
The rest of them haven't got a clue.
They don't know what we're talking about.
The youngsters in the room. Don't know.
Oh, the good life.
Go get a comedy education, folks. These are two words that kind of get the ire of everybody. Irish water.
Irish water. Honest to God, any time I see the government saying we don't have money for this and we don't have money for that, kind of things that we should have money for, like health service.
And homes for people. Homeless to get homes.
And then you've Irish water, which never seems to have a problem in finding the money to do what it wants to do. This is from the Irish Daily Mail on page one by Emma Jane Haid. Irish water spends €357,000 on spin. So this was to retrieve
PR,
its reputation.
I hate it.
Yeah. Everybody knows the kind of trouble Irish water was in and that it was hated almost universally in this country.
Whoever they're employing should give the money back because they haven't done a very good job.
They haven't. To spend that amount of money purely on, a public relations exercise, when we have a water system that we all know is creaking, and as we all know, there's various parts of the country were left without water for weeks earlier this year.
And then we're all getting the money back as well for Christmas.
The
bonus.
The whole thing is, I have visions that in the future, in universities, they will be using this as a case study of how not to do everything in every topic they'll ever teach in university.
How not to set up a company.
It is disaster from start to finish, and we still have a water service that doesn't work.
Last story of this morning, we have to end on something positive, upbeat, a celebrity spotter.
Celebrity spotting in Dublin at the weekend, yes. Again, this is covered in a lot of the papers. Brooklyn Beckham, which is actually quite hard to say.
Who's nearly getting papped as much as his parents these days.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And his girlfriend is Chloe Grace Moritz, who's an actress, and she's here filming in Dublin a new film by Neil Jordan called The Widow, which is a horror movie, apparently. So he joined her for the weekend, and they were spotted out and about in the Guinness storehouse, and obviously she was putting some of these up on her Instagram as well. They also visited Johnny Fox's, where apparently she had an impromptu dancing lesson, and they went to the rugby in the Aviva Stadium.
And I know somewhere else they went, because I have a friend who spotted them. I wasn't there, but I wouldn't be at this particular event, but they were at a horror event. I think it was in the RDS at the weekend. So it ties in with what she's doing at the moment. Bit late for the old research though, love. Yeah. You're in the movie already.
Yeah, a little bit. But you know, once again, putting Ireland and our penchant for drink on
and
the map.
The Mammy was over last week as well.
The Mammy was over last week. She was in her, I think she comes over every year to launch her autumn winter collection winters, whatever they're in
did
now.
Did you get the picture with her? Everybody
no,
else seems
you know
to have.
What? I actually didn't. And I was just raging because everybody who was anybody in Dublin got their selfie taken with Victoria.
Everywhere was littered with pictures.
Absolutely, no, I didn't.
You
she would see
special.
Victoria if
you
I stood beside
special.
Her. She'd be cast into a big shadow and she'd disappear.
Minuscule she is.
She had a dress that the back had fallen out of.
That was a design, apparently. Barbara, thank you so much for going through the papers for us this morning.
I go back to bed now.
Oh, don't mention it. It is 7:33 to be precise. Off you pop into the daylight. And this is Walking My Shoes Radio with some more music to ease us into the brand new day.
A dream, we were sipping whiskey neat, highest floor of the Bowery, and I was high enough. Somewhere along the lines, we stopped seeing eye to eye. You were staying out all night, and I had enough. No, I summer nights and the libertines, never growing up. I'll take with me the Polaroids and the memories, but you know I'm gonna leave behind the worst of all.
Support, we can all enjoy life. Taking that first step is possible with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. If you have concerns about your mental health, talk to your GP or call our support line on 01 249 3333. Don't wait to enjoy life again. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Empowering recovery.
I'm Adam Clayton, and you're listening to Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's University Hospital this October to mark World Mental Health Day.
Is it all you need to feel this heat? To feel like everything's all that you dreamed? Is it all too much? Did you get enough? Does it set on fire all the things that you touch? And it fills me up and it starts to shine, and I see it burn when you bring me some light.
maybe being a bit preemptive with that song. It's Sunlight from The Magician. There ain't much of it out there this morning so far. I'm looking out the window here at Walk In My Shoes Radio. We're based, of course, in St. Patrick's Mental Health Services in James Street in Dublin 8. Hopefully the sun will rise at some point. Now, it is Trevor Keegan with you. It is 7:41 and we are joined on the line from the UK by Garth Presch. Now, Garth is the CEO and founder of the World Health Innovation Summit. Good morning, Garth. I'm very good. Before we get into it, Garth, about the World Health Summit, you're also a what's known as a social entrepreneur. What exactly is that? So it's like business with a conscience. Yeah. Very good, Garth. And then you're... I'm at the moment, I don't feel very entrepreneurial, but I'll take that at this hour of the day. Thank you very much indeed. Garth, you are also, as we said at the beginning, founder of the World Health Summit. What exactly is that as well? So is this both? This is both professionals and the people involved at the patient level as well. And also, you're working closely, you're developing WizKids, which is, again, looking at the next generation. We kind of touched on that this morning when our paper reviewer was talking about introducing mindfulness into schools. So is that kind of interlinked into what you're doing as well? And where do you see our health service developing in terms of getting involved in something like this? Thank you. So Gareth, basically it's starting that conversation at a ground level and working the way up through the whole system, really, isn't it? Gareth, lastly, before you go, just tell us, where can people find out more information about your particular World Health Innovation Summit?
Yeah, it's worldhealthinnovationsummit.com. We're actually coming to Dublin next year. We're working with the Social Summit and the RMS. So we'll be participating in that event before there. And next year, we're going to be coming to Dublin and the Social Plan. And that's going to be called that Dublin and around Ireland. So very much looking forward to back to Dublin and then involved.
Brilliant, Gareth. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is worthwhile work that you're doing. That is Gareth Presh, CEO and founder of World Health Innovation Summit. You are listening to Walk in My Shoes Radio. It's coming up on 10, well, nearly 7:47, nearly 10 to 8. Let's call it 10 to 8 for the sake of getting out of the house on time. It's Trevor Keegan with you on breakfast and a little bit of Ed Sheeran. He's adopted Irish. We love him.
It's late in the evening. On the side, I've been sad with you for most of the night. Ignoring everybody here, we wish they would disappear so maybe we could get down now. Till then we got nothing to say and nothing to know but something to drink and maybe something to smoke. Let it go until our roads are changed, singing we found love in a local rave. No, I don't really know what I'm supposed to say, but I can just figure it out and hope and pray. I told her my name, I said it's nice to meet you. Then she handed me a bottle of water filled with tequila. I already know she's a keeper, just from this one small act of kindness. I'm in deep, if anybody finds out, I'm meant to drive home, but I drunk all of it now, no. So we're enough, we just sit on the couch, one thing led to another, now just kissing my mouth. I need you, darling, come on, set the tone. If you feel the falling, won't you let me know? Kicks in again. Can you feel it?
That, of course,
this is a test broadcast from Walk in My Shoes Radio. Ed Sheeran, broadcasting from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
Just a little plug for the channel. I'll do that myself and tell you that it is Walk in My Shoes Radio. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Walk in My Shoes using the hashtag WIMSFM. Rolls off the tongue, and not. But anyway, I want to flag just what's coming up on the station during the course of today. We're with you each day this week, Monday to Friday, from 7 in the morning until 9 at night. I'm here today and tomorrow in the breakfast show, bringing you breakfast. We have the wonderful, the multi-talented Shea Byrne coming up. He's the only one of us that's actually so strong and able that he's doing every single day, 9 till 11. And that's after he does his own breakfast show on Rising Time. Also later today, from 11 till 1, now this will be fun, Laura Woods is going to have her hands very full with a turkey, namely Dustin. So they are with us today from 11 till 1 here on the channel. Later on at 1 o'clock, you have lunch with Sinead Lynch and Tommy Martin. And that takes you up to 3 when Alison and Laura Canavan will be doing the duet together. And then from 5 o'clock till 7, Stephen Byrne, him of course of former Two Tube fame. And then later tonight, this is nostalgia fans, this is Pat O'Mahony, Pamela Flood. Didn't they present together, or was he before her on Head to Toe? I'm thinking they were together on Head to Toe. They were, definitely. That'll be interesting. Let's see what they're wearing. We should get a webcam. Anyway, it is Walk in My Shoes Radio. It's Trevor Keegan in until 9 o'clock. It is now 7:52.